The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you encounter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May each and every child of the Lord be blessed by the hearing of his holy word this evening. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to be seated. I would like extra credit points for the Old Testament reading and getting through those names and almost sounding like I knew what I was talking about. That was some difficult names. Let's talk tonight a little bit about given to obey. I think if you were paying real close attention, and since I cued you to pay real close attention to that Old Testament reading from Nehemiah, you found out what we're talking about, given to obey. At first verse, all the people assembled with unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra was a scribe, and they asked him to bring out what? The book of the law of Moses. This is God's holy word, right? Which the Lord had done what? He had given it to Israel for them to obey. So, the theme of what we're talking about tonight in terms of given to obey is, what are we given to obey? The word of the Lord. We are told to obey God's holy word. Nothing new. It's all over the New Testament. We hear it tonight in the Old Testament. Guess how many times in the Bible folks get it wrong? All the time. Guess how many times in our society folks get it wrong? Guess what kind of shape the American Western Protestant Church is in for not getting this right? I'll stop editorializing. Let's get back to Scripture. So on October the 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included men and women and all the children old enough to understand that. It's interesting, that's the NLT translation I used tonight because I just thought it was kind of cool that it said October the 8th, right? Because it does relate to modern times. It relates to this season of fall when the Jewish people to this day still celebrate some of their festivities and their feast. In the NIV, they put it this way. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. All right, so what is the feast that's going on here? It's called the Festival of Trumpets. And we know that as a part of the Festival of Trumpets, the Jewish people would celebrate their Jewish New Year, their new civic year. It was kind of a starting over point for them. It's also when their agricultural year was coming to an end as well. And today, even to this day, they still celebrate as a part of the Feast of the Trumpets. What holiday? The Great Day of Atonement called, just had it. Oh, none of you have Jewish friends. Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement. Just some research I did today. Let me read this to you real quick. I forget where I found this from. Feast of the Trumpets was important for several reasons. First, it commemorated the end of the agricultural and festival year. Also, the Day of Atonement fell on the 10th day of the month. We just covered that. The blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month heralded a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement. So that's what's going on when we're listening to this today. They're listening to the Word of God as they're heading into this time to celebrate the Feast of the Trumpets and a time of atonement. And so what do you think they're up against? Because it suggests that they were crying at one point. They were weeping. They're hearing the Word of the Lord, and it's convicting them. They're realizing their own sin, and they're realizing they're out of step with God. It's fascinating. It's fascinating because in a lot of ways, what we're looking at today in this particular scripture, it's a foreshadowing. It's a pre-presentation of what gets reconciled in the gospel accounts with Jesus Christ, right? Let's continue unpacking a couple more verses from the Old Testament before we get to the New. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of the people. Where they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Does that remind you of anything in Christian liturgy today, right? The gospel, the reading of the gospel, right? Front and center, everybody can see, everybody rises for the reading of the gospel. It's, there it is. It's right there in Old Testament. Now, we do that for the gospel today because it's not that we're saying that the Old Testament is unimportant and we remain seated for that, but the pinnacle of everything that gets promised in the Old Testament gets given to us right there in the New Covenant, right? So we stand out of obedience for that. We're called today to be obedient to the gospel. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each message. Who's they? Well, it tells us it's the Levites. The Levites were a particular tribe of Judah, and they were the folks where the tribe that produced the priests or the ministers or the pastors of that time. So they were the priestly tribe, and we still practice this today, right? The word is opened, the people rise, the word is read, and then it's explained, kind of like what we're doing right now. Now, what happens when you go to a church service, and oddly enough, the word is not read? You ever been to one of those? Where they just kind of launch into a sermon without any kind of reading of Holy Word? Some of you who were here on Sunday should know exactly what I'm talking about. And you should know exactly where I'm going with this too. Because the word was not read on Sunday. The word was preached and mangled, quite frankly. But it was not read. And it was purposely not read. And this pastor was told that it wouldn't be read. If you read my article in the October newsletter, folks, it opens up with, Good Shepherd has some difficult discussions that need to be had. We have some difficult discussions that need to be had. Let's get back to the word today. That's a picture of the church today. The priestly tribe of the Levites. They're the ministers. They read the word. The people stand. They hear it. And then they take it step by step and they teach it to them so that they can get in touch with what it is that God wants them to know. Not what man wants them to know, what God wants them to know. And I don't know if you caught the time frame. It said it started in the morning and he read till noon. That's about 6 hours. So next time we go a little bit over 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, I don't hear any complaining because that's nowhere near 6 hours, folks. We heard something on Sunday when the word was not read to us. It was given to us in the context of a scripture. And I feel called this evening to circle back and give it to you and to correct it. And I'm going to have to do it on a Sunday too, folks. I'm going to have to. Matthew 21. This is a story of where Jesus enters the courts of the temples. He goes into the temple and he's not in a good mood. And do you know what he does? You remember what he does? He knocks over the tables. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Matthew 21, 12. Everybody's clear? We're good with that? We were told that that is an absolute perfect example of social activism. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in an act of social activism, and that we as Christians have that as part of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, let's read another verse. Verse 13. It is written, Jesus says to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I fail to see the social activism in that. You know what I see in that? I see Jesus upset that people are not obeying the word of the Lord. It couldn't be any clearer, folks. It couldn't be given to us any clearer as an illustration this past Sunday, actually. When someone uses the pulpit to make an example of their own political activism. It is written, Jesus says. It's a clear reference to Holy Scripture that he's angry about. Folks are not paying attention to Holy Scripture. They're doing what they want in the temple. Let's get back to Nehemiah. It says, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn, weep. Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day because before the Lord our God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Again, they were convicted in their own sins. They understood that they were out of alliance. They were not obeying the word of the Lord. And they wept over it. They didn't grandstand above it. They wept over it. It's a pre-shadowing of the gospel. The good news, if you were here last week, we talked about what that good news is. It's clearly defined for us. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. The most primary important thing of the gospel. Paul says, I passed it on to you. Here it is. Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to what? Scriptures. What are we called to obey? We're called to obey the word of God, the scriptures. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. I don't know how much easier it can get. This does not require a PhD in theology to interpret. Yet all throughout churches, we're hearing this nonsense like we heard on Sunday. The gospel tonight. Jesus sends out 72 folks. What's he send them out to do? Protest? Sign petitions? Social activism? Go protest for the environment? No. He sends them out with a very specific message. He says, you go tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Does that sound anything like social activism? There's an implicit message here. When Jesus is saying this, before Jesus says this, actually, we see this popping up in the gospel accounts from Jesus' cousin. Who's Jesus' cousin? John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist uses the same line. He puts a word in front of it. He says this. He says, repent. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. What does repent mean? It means you need a change. It means you're on the wrong course. It means you need to be willing to get right with God. You need to be willing to confess where you've messed it up. And that's true for us personally. It's true for us corporately. It's true for us denominationally. It's true for us as the body of Christ. When we've blown it, the only way we're going to make it better is to identify it, to admit it. We blew it. We messed it up. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. What's interesting about this, Jesus takes that message and he continues it after his cousin is executed. He takes on John's message at that point. And he says the same thing in Matthew 4:3. From that time on, Jesus began, from what time on? This is after John was killed. Jesus began to preach, repent. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. In the gospel today, he tells the people he's sending out, those are the disciples. That's you. That's me. He's telling them, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, look around, folks. It's kind of few. I mean, you know, the church isn't filled. It's a good crowd for a Thursday night, but it's not filled. The harvest is plentiful, though. What does that mean? That means there are people out in the world who need to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving grace of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means there are people out in the world who want to hear that, who are waiting to hear that. And we're called. That's what we're called to go out and deliver. We're called to go out and find some folks to share that good news with. Now, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. How near? First importance, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Then he was buried. He raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So go out, preach that message. Is that easy? No, let's just be honest about it. It's not. You know why? It's contrary to everything the world stands for. Everything the world stands for. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is contrary to. And Jesus even says, verse 3, look at this, go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Boy, that should make you feel safe, huh? Let me tell you what. You don't have far to go. Because unfortunately, I'm afraid that we may be, and when I say we, I'm assuming you're with me on this message. If you're not, I don't know what else to tell you. But there may be some amongst us who are not. They're not congruent with this message. And you need to be prepared, because those folks are going to fight back like wolves. This is why Jesus sends folks out two by two. We have got to stand together to be the unified body of Christ that is true to the word of God. Look what else Jesus says. He says, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. In other words, what's he saying? Jesus is saying, when you spread the truth of the gospel, you need to depend on God. You don't depend on the world to support you. Why? Because we've just decided that this is contrary to everything the world wants to hear, and it's contrary to everything the world offers. So you need to be dependent on God. Otherwise, if you're looking to make people happy, if you're looking to tickle their ears and say what they want to hear so that you can get their support, chances are you're not in the Word of God. You're just not going to be. Because it's a hard pill to swallow, folks. I read the Bible all the time. I get great strength and comfort from it. And there are times where I read it and go, no, that can't be. Because it's hard. And there's parts I don't like. Why? Because it challenges me. And it's hard. But at the end of the day, we're not called to like it. We're called to live it. We're called to either say it's the Word of God or it's not. It can only be one or the other. It's either truly the Word of God and you're willing to stand for it, or it's not the Word of God. In which case, I don't know why you're coming to something called a church. Let's wrap up the gospel. What's Jesus say? He says, when you go out and you talk to these folks, you get there, you say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it's going to return to you. In other words, you're going to know. And you also need to understand this. The Holy Spirit has a huge role in this. When you're preaching to people, when you're telling them the good news, if they're not receiving it, that's okay. Your peace will come back to you. It's on them. They need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Just like those saints of old that we heard about today in the Old Testament were, they wept when they realized that they were in disobedience to the law. They wept because they knew they were out of relationship with God. And what did Ezra tell them? Ezra describes as, no, don't weep. This is a celebration. This is the festival of trumpets. This is the Day of Atonement, where we know our merciful God will forgive our sins. And again, it's a foreshadowing of the gospel. When you have that gospel right there, Jesus Christ crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, and you place your faith in that, you have the good news. You don't have to weep. Jesus goes on and he says, if you enter a town and you're not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. That's what Jesus tells the two by twos to go out and say. Wipe the dust off the sandals, move on, and warn them. Warn them. You're out of line. You're not following the word, and that's not a good thing. I'm going to wrap it up with this. One of the folks I really like to read when I prepare and study is, and I've told you this before because I remember the name. It's a similar name, the same name actually, is one of our congregants here. Last name anyway, a guy named William McDonald. It's Mr. Stan's great uncle, I believe. He was a fantastic biblical scholar. But listen, I want to share with you what he says about verse 10 from what we just read, because I think it hits home. He says, a town may reject the gospel and then be denied the privilege of hearing it ever again. There comes a time in God's dealings when the message is heard for the first time. Men should not trifle with the gospel because it may be withdrawn forever. Light rejected is light denied. Towns and villages, we can fill in the word people, churches, denominations, false teachers, whatever, which are privileged to hear the good news but refuse it, will be judged more severely than the city of Sodom. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. The greater the responsibility to do what? To obey. To obey the word that is given to obey. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you receive it in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.